Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Marcellus Wiley here with Emmanuel Acho.
My brother, starting off the week strong, man.
You are strong. I heard the whole dressing room go, look at him today. I didn't know what I was going to come out to. Looking good, brother. Let's start it off with two guys who are looking good as well. The best in the NBA bubble, LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, who both led their teams to the second round of the playoffs over the weekend. Paul George said Kawhi, quote, put us on his back, and he finished the series, while LeBron led the Lakers to the conference semifinals for the first time in nearly a decade. Let's take a look at the two stars in the playoffs. Kawhi leads in points, and they're tied in rebounds, but LeBron leads in assists and shooting. So, Acho, who's been more impressive in the playoffs?
LeBron or Kawhi?
I don't. It's LeBron James. It's the King James. And it's actually simple. It's whether I want to give you an opinion, Marcellus, or whether I want to give you a fact based off stats. It's LeBron James. First, let me give you an opinion.
Let's go.
LeBron, as you said, not myself, beat a better team easier than Kawhi. Again, you, sir, said, not myself, what? That the Trailblazers were better than the Mavs.
The team that wouldn't
sir,
be in any other year?
You said it, sir.
Okay, I know where
you
we're
said
going.
It, sir.
Okay, I'm here.
But let's move past that. Let's also talk about the fact that what LeBron did, he gave you same amount of rebounds. He gave you twice as many assists as Kawhi, and he gave you less points, but he gave you the exact same amount of points per minute. Remember, Kawhi played 7 minutes more a game than LeBron, meaning over the course of those six games, Kawhi actually played an entire game more than LeBron James. That's just simple stats. These are not my opinions. But the most important thing is this.
Tell me you're going to give me an opinion.
Most important thing is this. Kawhi, Marcellus,
what?
He had to do what he did because his number two, Paul George, missing in action. Anybody seen Paul George for the first four games? Missing in action. So Kawhi had to do that. Whereas LeBron, he still balled while AD was also getting his. So LeBron gave you just as many boards, gave you twice as many assists, and gave you the identical amount of points per minute. There's nothing Kawhi did better than LeBron. LeBron did the same thing. He just did it in less time.
Wow, you just sound like you just helped my argument, which is Kawhi Leonard picking up a teammate. Oh, that helps LeBron or that helps Kawhi? Because Kawhi has been the consistent number one factor why the Clippers were able to advance. Thanks for making my argument with opinions or facts. I don't know. But I know what you are trying to do.
What am I trying to do?
Trying to clean up your image right now. Because there's video out there trending of my boy talking blasphemy about these Lakers. Don't come in here that's, today that's and try to clean up all the ice cream on the floor you spilled. It ain't going to happen. Laker fans still hate this dude because I was here witnessing the blasphemy. But in all seriousness, man, it's Kawhi Leonard. And I will say this. The inconsistency of having a number two that you can't rely on is really going to be something that you got to keep into account and keep in mind when you're thinking about splitting the hairs of these two guys. Both were tremendous. Please don't clip this out. Both were tremendous. But when you look at what Kawhi Leonard did, one, he didn't have a tap-out game. Even in a win, LeBron had a 10-point game. Kawhi's like, if I had a 10-point game, I know what that looks like in the win-loss column for the Clippers. A definite L, in part because of Paul George. You misspoke. You said, where was Paul George in the first four games? First game, he balled 27 points. Don't do that to Paul George. I know we want to pile on. We want to pile on, but we can't. What Kawhi is quietly doing, and he always does it silently, you know, he's already won two championships and two finals MVP.
That's a fact.
And he's kind of silently
that's a fact.
About it. The G is silent, you know, in lasagna, you know. And here's the thing about Kawhi. Right now, he is putting up peak Jordan performance numbers. Listen to this line. 32-7-4 over the last four games. Only five people in NBA history have been able to do that. In postseason history, and Michael Jordan did it five times in the 93 finals. Basically, what we're seeing, but we're not going to give it credit, is that this is peak level Jordan in terms of consistency, in terms of every single day, I'm going to show up. And even if my number two doesn't show up, I will fill in the void and still get us over the hump.
Let me do something which most shows aren't going to do. And you did it right, and you did it perfectly. Both dudes balled. Right? Can we just be real?
Can we just not sit here and start
yelling so much that we forget? Like, I'm watching a game last night, and I'm like, the only reason we don't give Kawhi a ton of credit, because he does it so effortlessly. Mm. Like, Kawhi makes it look so easy. He gets to his spots, his mid-range spots, or he gets to the hoop, uses his size, uses his body, gets little men out the way, and gets buckets. He just makes it look so easy. So let's just establish that.
Okay.
Like, really, we arguing great versus greater.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about who is greater, so let me get back to LeBron.
let me get back to LeBron.
Here you go, Laker fans. Think about this. Think about this, Marcellus.
What?
What LeBron do in the loss, first game? He gave you 23, 17, and 16.
That's stanky.
23, 17, and 16. And you know what we said? You know what I said? You know what Shaquille O'Neal said?
That wasn't enough.
I need more.
We got to see more.
I need more.
Like, the dude gave you a historic performance, we said that wasn't enough.
Mm.
If Kawhi gave you 23, 17, and 16, we would be hailing him as Jordan.
Mm.
Not even the potential Jordan, the Jordan lookalike. We would be hailing Kawhi as Jordan. Think about what LeBron did. 20-point triple-double is what he's on pace for. We've seen that happen twice in NBA history in the postseason. Oscar Robinson, Russell Westbrook.
Okay.
Both those players didn't get out the first round, which LeBron James did in five games. So what LeBron is doing, we're just so numb to. Marcellus, we have LeBron James fatigue. We have greatness fatigue.
Yeah.
The dude backdoors and gives you 38, 12, and 8 in game 3. When, mind you, it was still a toss-up, right? We weren't sure if the Blazers were done for, if the Blazers were about to come back and still steal another game from the Lakers.
Which?
38, 12, and 8. But we have LeBron fatigue. So Kawhi is great. I'm not going to sit here and try to act like Kawhi is amazing.
Right.
And Kawhi plays defense. Amazing. But the reason I'm going with LeBron is because in the midst of this fatigue, I'm still in awe of his greatness. To give you 23, 17, 16, two games later, give you 38, 12, and 8, then give you another 30-point game, then give you another 30-point game, and mind you, he didn't even play in the fourth quarter of one of them games. It's hard to argue against LeBron's greatness.
At age 35, while solving racism and inequality.
He's doing a lot.
No wonder he's losing his hair. Like, no wonder. He got too much on his damn plate. I love the fact that you just balanced it all by saying, look, respect for social distancing, but we ain't got to be that damn far apart in terms of appreciation.
Thank you.
So let's bring in somebody who may appreciate my stance more than yours. Slick Rick the Buker, Fox NBA analyst. So, Slick, who's been more impressive in the playoffs, LeBron or Kawhi?
I agree with the premise that both have been impressive, but who has been more impressive? Kawhi Leonard has been more impressive. And Acho, I'm not going to take issue with you picking LeBron because it is so close. That's not my problem.
Okay.
My problem is with your argument.
Okay.
And you mentioned statistics heavily about the triple doubles. If we look at the bubble and we look at the statistics overall, all of the offensive statistics are through the roof. Jamal Murray, with his 50-point games and consecutive 40-point scoring, has done something that hasn't been done. I mean, he's got individually, single-handedly, has more 50-point games, if I'm not mistaken, that we saw in like a decade plus in the playoffs overall by anybody. So it tells you that you can't go by the numbers. And even if I wanted to go by the numbers, you know, one of the numbers that doesn't play very well for LeBron is the fact that he was also averaged 5 turnovers a game, which takes a lot of the steam out of that difference in assists over Kawhi. But the big thing is the minutes. You mentioned the minutes and the difference in the minutes played. And yes, that equates to more numbers. But the reason Kawhi played more minutes is because he had to play more minutes.
Because the Clippers simply weren't effective
without him.
But I think you might have just undermined yourself because you can't blame LeBron James in game 4, if I'm not mistaken, for being so efficient through the first 3 quarters that, you know what, last quarter, I'm going to just kick back and chill. You feel me, Slick? Like, if the greatest argument is that Kawhi had to do it, it's not LeBron's fault that he beat you in 3 quarters so he could take his fourth quarter off.
Mm. No, it's not. And I'm not faulting LeBron for that, but you're asking me, who was more impressive? So if Kawhi has to carry more weight, I can say, hey, you know what? LeBron only had to carry 300 pounds. Kawhi carried 500 pounds because he had to carry 500 pounds because he didn't have any other cat who could pick up the other 200 pounds. So that's where Anthony Davis and the way he played in particular. I mean, look, LeBron wasn't even the leading scorer on his team. And I know I always say stars get theirs, superstars get theirs, and get numbers for other guys. I would just take a step back and look at these two particular their performances. And for me, watching both of them, there were times where the Lakers functioned just fine without LeBron. We're mm-hmm. dominating without LeBron. And there were very few times when Kawhi was off the floor where I wasn't thinking, okay, when are you going to put Kawhi back in?
Remember, Slick, the Lakers were dominating without LeBron when you speak of end of the third and in fourth quarters after he had already beaten the Blazers down to the point where the Blazers didn't really have much left. But, Slick, let me ask you this question. Who did you say received your MVP vote on the season?
LeBron James.
LeBron James did. LeBron James in the playoffs versus LeBron James in the regular season per 36, averaging four more points a game, averaging three more boards a game, and averaging more of an assist a game. So if LeBron, who was already your most valuable person, has gone to the playoffs now, Slick, and taken it up even a greater notch, when if you look at Kawhi, Kawhi in the regular season versus Kawhi in the postseason per 36, meaning for the minutes he's on the court, is really giving you the same thing. I'm just not convinced, Slick, that the person who you said is most valuable and has gotten even better, you can now argue is not as good as Kawhi.
Well, the numbers have gone up for everybody. And the important thing for me with Kawhi and his numbers was when he got them. And not just third quarter, fourth quarter, but anytime the Clippers started to get a little wobbly, they would go to Kawhi, and Kawhi would get bucket after bucket, and it would calm the waters for the Clippers. Here's the other part of your argument that I'm going to push back against, which is, yes, coming into this series, we said that the Blazers were they were the best eighth seed that we had seen in quite some time, and that they presented a challenge. That was before Zach Collins went down. That was before Damian Lillard got hurt. And it was before ultimately that we saw that the Blazers' inability to match up with LeBron James was a major problem. Gary Trent Jr. and Carmelo Anthony simply couldn't get the job done, and Anthony Davis was playing well enough that they couldn't double LeBron and get away with it. So again, I'm in your camp in terms of both of them played great, and I have to make a choice. But if I'm just sitting back and watching what the two of them did, what Kawhi did, that night after night when they needed something, he delivered. And I look at the rest of the Clippers, and I can't feel the same way about any one of them. They joined the party that Kawhi started. Anthony Davis, in many cases, was carrying the water.
Yeah, man, look, Kawhi Leonard, third in playoff scoring in the bubble, only behind Murray and Mitchell, and we know what they're doing in that series, going ham with no defense, it seems like, because their numbers inflated. But let's not even talk about Kawhi to score. Let's talk about Kawhi, as you said, Slick Rick, showing up when you need him most. Let's start off with this B-roll. Dallas starts the fourth quarter, 8-3 run on my Clippers, and all of a sudden, they drop the lead down to 6, and then Kawhi says, oh, let me come in this game. Oh, a little bang, bang right there. Then he comes in. You need another bucket. These are all consecutive possessions, y'all. As you can see, why y'all showing me the same play? We need a consecutive play. All right, here we go. Now, is this the one where they're going to hit the 15 footer? Let's see, my boy. Yeah. This is all when you know that Uncle Mo, as I always talk about, the psychological scoreboard is starting to shift. You need your guy to come out there and carry the water, as Slick Rick talked about. Kawhi Leonard is first for his team, minutes, points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. He's in third. Why do I bring this up?
I don't know.
I bring this up because, America, you need to understand how it feels to sometimes show up every day, and your number two doesn't always show up. You know, and I'm dealing with that every day at this. I can't even get the joke out. Every day at this desk, I feel you, Kawhi. Sometimes he is an Acho A block, and then sometimes he's playoff Acho. I don't know what the hell wrong with this dude. In all seriousness, man, comparison is the thief of joy. That's right. Now we're doing a lot of stealing because both of these guys are out there balling. Great. Coming up at the top of the hour, Kevin Durant isn't in the bubble, but he appears to be taking some shots at what is going on in Orlando. We'll break it down, but first, Marcus Morris Sr. is taking his own shots, but they come at the expense of Luka Doncic. Woo. We'll tell you if he should be suspended. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Hey guys, Juju Smith-Schuster here. Probably weird to hear me on this podcast thing when you're used to seeing me do my thing on the field. Football's a huge part of my life, but there's another thing I love, and that's lounging. And there's only one way to do it. While wearing me undies, baby. I love me undies because they're just comfortable overall. I've never had an underwear where I can wear it throughout the day and then don't even have to go change into tights to work out. I've done actual workouts in just my undies. It makes my life simple. With me undies, I feel like you can pretty much do everything to make all sorts of stuff. Undies, loungewear, and the best onesies. And guys, the stuff is soft, like softer than my dog Bougie's baby butt soft. After taking hits on the field all day, that softness feels like actual heaven. Sign up for their membership, as you can get undies delivered right to your door every month with all sorts of perks, site-wide sales, free shipping, and seriously, did I mention their onesies? It's like zipping up happiness all over your body. Me Undies has a great offer for all of you guys. First-time purchases get 50% off and free shipping. Go to MeUndies.com/sports. That's MeUndies.com/sports.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move on to the Clippers, who won last night, but not without some controversy again. Marcus Morris Sr. was at it with Luka Doncic. He was ejected late in the first quarter for a flagrant 2 foul. Translation, he hit Luka in the head on his way to the basket. This foul is Morris Sr. appearing to step on Luka's ankle on purpose back in game 5, if y'all remember that one. Joined once again by Slick Rick, but Marcellus, I'm coming to you first, and sir, it is time to defend your own. Should Marcus Morris be suspended for the flagrant foul on Luka?
No. Shouldn't be suspended. Look, we know this was a reputational call. If you want to break it down frame by frame, that dude style, you would see that this was actually instigated by Luka. By Luka going to the hole.
By Luka playing basketball. Sorry, Luka.
No,
stop hooping.
You're
stop
trespassing hooping. In the defender's body space. Look at that. You see, first of all, the chicken wing and the lean in. That's how you play defensive end, not how you play offensive basketball. But in that process, we all know that there's a history, there's contention there. So we're reading this situation. And then I think Marcus Morris Sr. in that moment said, oh, you want to play bully ball? Here you go. Now, in that process, did hit him in the head, but not with full extension and not with negative intent.
Oh my God.
He did get ball.
Not with negative intent?
No.
Look at his reaction. He's looking at him like, yeah, that's what you get.
Hold on. I'm looking at you right now. I'm not mad at you. That's how the game goes. So what we saw right here was guys going full go. Fans always say, man, I want these guys to take it serious, to put it all on the line. You saw Luka putting it all on the line with his defensive end chicken wing and getting into his body space, and you saw Marcus Morris respond. But because of the history came into play in this moment when it shouldn't, and it certainly shouldn't going forward in terms of suspension. No suspension, just, hey, it's called contested playoff basketball.
Marcellus. Yes. Context and history always matter, bro. Say you cuddled up late night with your significant other, and all of a sudden, 1:30 a.m., you get a text from Pizza Hut talking about, hey, I miss you. You might be like, you know what? It was just the Pizza Hut auto text. But then the next night, you laying in bed, and you get a call from Pizza Hut at 3 a.m. Marcellus, you're guilty now.
What I do?
Okay, you're guilty.
Somebody might be in a different time zone.
No, not Pizza Hut. Okay, Marcus Morris, he's guilty because history and context matter. Here's my thing, bro. Marcus Morris, if you want to hit people in the head, we got a whole nother sport for that. You can put on some gloves and you can go boxing. If you want to take cheap shots, we got a whole nother sport for that. You can get yourself in the octagon and you can do your thing. But if you want to play basketball, then I just say, play basketball. And Marcellus, I'm not the guy that's like, you're soft. Yeah. You're soft. Nah, bro. Are we hooping or are we not? Like, Luka's not trying to be an MMA street fighter. If he wanted to, he probably would have taken a different career path. So now look, I'm going to get to the whole point of the question. Should Marcus Morris be suspended? I'm not so ignorant as to say he should. That's not what I'm saying.
On Twitter, you are.
But no, because I didn't say he should be suspended. I said, get him up out of there. But here's what I'll say, Slick Rick. Here's what I will say. If we can retroactively look at calls and challenge them and say, you know what? What wasn't a foul should be a foul. Then maybe you should be able to retroactively look at games and say, you know what? Maybe Marcus Morris did step on Luka's ankle on purpose in game 5. Or how about game 1 when KP got ejected? Wait a second. Marcus Morris did incite that entire incident. Maybe things retroactively should be affected and inflicted. But the NFL, the NBA, they already have their point system. So Marcus Morris should not be ejected, but there should probably be a heavier levy, heavier suspensions, heavier fines than just, you know what, let's just eject him for one game and keep it pushing.
Yeah, the fact that he was ejected from the game, I feel as if that was plenty, particularly at that time and the meaning of this game, that was plenty penalty enough. To add to it doesn't seem to be fair to me. I actually looked at the play, and look, I've been covering the league for a long time. I felt it deserved a flagrant one at best. Yes, he made contact with the head. Yes, give him the technical foul and the ball, but a flagrant two seemed to be a little much. And as Marcellus pointed out, there is history here, and it's going both ways. Luka Doncic and the way he plays, he's a very physical offensive player. He uses his body a lot in order to create space and to bump defenders. That in kind is going to cause defenders to play him more physical. And if you watch this replay that we've now seen about 100 times, in each case, the first hit to the head was, I'm reaching to try to block it. I hit him in the head. Okay. The second time, he actually gets the ball. I look at his intent, and it was never, I'm just going to slug Luka Doncic. And the same with the stepping on the back of the shoe. Like, you're reading into intent. If I'm watching the inbound come in and I'm coming up behind him, it's possible that I step on the shoe unintentionally.
I'm confused.
It's possible.
Slick, you just...
But I'm not going to penalize... Look, this was my other issue with your probability.
I hope you have a better one now.
The probability of the space on the floor and all of these guys having an equal opportunity to step on that shoe. No, Marcus Morris covered Luka Doncic for the better part of this series. If there was going to be any interaction, it was going to be between those two, and it was going to be Marcus.
But nobody else
defending
stepped on anybody
Luka.
Else's ankle and took their shoe off. That's a weird coincidence. Anyway, Slick, I have an issue with something you said earlier, Slick, because you, sir, and you and Marcellus, in fact, glad y'all are sitting next to each other so I can couple both of you all together. See, Marcellus texted me, Slick, after he tweeted at me.
After
the fifth game. He don't care about me enough to text me.
Hell no.
He tweeted at me after game four, game five, and said, wait, your HDTV can tell intent? See, Slick, in one sentence, you just uttered Marcus Morris's intent was not to hurt Luka. But then when talking about the ankle, you wanted to utter that Marcus Morris's intent was not to step on. Can we read intent or can we not?
No, I don't know. I don't know. So I'm going to put that aside. All I know is he made a play on the ball in the second instance, and that's all I can go by. He actually hit the ball and then came through and got him. So look, in the big picture, I kind of agree with Marcellus in that I feel as if the NBA is adjudicating competitive fire and competition out of the game because we're so worried. Do you, honestly, Acho, let me ask you this about either one of those incidents. Do you think there was a case in either case that Luka would have been injured? By what Marcus? You're so part of the Clippers. You're Marcellus Morris, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Either one.
You heard that? That mean no.
To injure and
I try
take
to,
Luka
I try
out
to
of
be
game.
A genuine human being, Marcellus, when I answer questions. The ankle one, I don't know. Because my problem with Marcus Morris is, bro, you got caught. Like, at least be better. Be better about dirty play. Marcellus played in the league. I played in the league. Played high-level college. We all play ball, Slick. We all play ball. Everybody does a little shumpin'. But, like, at least be better than to sit here and take his whole shoe off. Like, I just disrespect you for not even being quality enough at being dirty to, like, not get away with it. So could he have hurt him? I don't know, but I also don't want to find out. Like, could KD have torn his Achilles by coming back off a tight calf? What we found out, I would just rather not find out than sit here and play the coulda, woulda, shoulda game until it's too late.
Strong response right there. Tremendous deflection right here. I'm sorry, America, in today's social climate, I can't believe that I actually work with a guy who is profiling right now in this moment. Like, really standing at a distance and passing judgment from such a far space between what Marcus Morris was doing, his intent, and what you're trying to say up here. How dare you slander this guy's entire character and name and game just because of what you think you saw at the crib eating on some nachos. With that said, I can't play a lick of basketball. Speaking of profiling, always get picked first until after that first game they realize, don't judge them by the paint job anymore. Here's the thing. I do know you can't dribble like this and then your elbow like that. And that's how Luka entered the lane with the elbow out. Marcus Morris, I think, showed restraint saying, I'm not even going to fight through your elbow. I'm just still going to swipe at the ball twice. And maybe unintentionally hits him in the head once. But we know this. Once you go above the shoulder, obviously they're going to look at that and probably give you a flagrant two. But what Acho was also guilty of is basically a case of double jeopardy. You're trying to convict them for the same crime. Like, oh, the game before, you know what you did? You stepped on a shoe and nothing happened. So now when you do anything, we're going to pile on this sentence or we're going to change it just because of we didn't do anything in that moment. Call your foul when it's a foul. And when it's a foul, we're only talking about this narrow scope of the incident and infraction. You can't bring everybody's history into one specific moment. How are you even going to play that?
So you're simply going to act like every slick. Please speak some knowledge into him.
You better defer.
I'm going to first, but then I'm going to ask you, Slick. Marcellus, you are going to say that every infraction should be judged in an incubated and isolated incident, and you're not going to factor in the fact of, wait, you know what? Maybe previous infractions are also indicator of infractions that are to come.
You're telling me how it is. I'm telling you how it should be. Coming up, Russell Wilson says if the NFL
go to break.
They would have set out like the NBA. We'll tell you if we really believe that. Next, speak for yourself. Presented by Hyundai.
Don't let them lie to you, Slick.
Slick.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Fox NFL Sunday is back September 13th with a great slate of early games. Then it's the blockbuster in America's Game of the Week as Brady and the new-look Bucks take on Breeze and the Saints. Check local listings for the games in your area or watch it on the Fox Sports app. I do that read every week. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. The NBA is coming off missing 3 days of playoff games last week after players decided to strike to protest the police shooting of Jacob Blake. The move raised the question, would this happen in the NFL? Russell Wilson says if the NFL had games over the weekend, the Seahawks would have sat out too. Adding, quote, for the Seahawks, we're definitely discussing what do we do next? How do we make a change? Joined now by Fox NFL analyst LeVar Arrington, starting with you, Acho. Hey. You agree with Russ here?
Gentlemen, I know y'all the card players. Growing up in my household, we played a game, we called it NT, but I think most people call it BS. And it's when you can tell some people, NT stands for not true. And it's when, it's when you can tell somebody lying. See, Russ, I got to call BS. And I got to call BS because it's so easy to talk. It's so easy to say, well, if we were playing, we would sit out. We would miss out on a game. Now, I put Russell Wilson in the same category of LeBron James. Regardless of what they do on the court, they will always be better human beings in my eyes for what they've done off the field or off the court. So Russell Wilson, superstar human being in my mind. But I just think he's lying right here. He's lying to himself because Marcellus LeVar, when I look at the goal of sitting out, when I look at the goal of what the NBA players accomplished, Russ, if you were going to take off a game in the event y'all were playing this past Friday or this previous week, what will change between now and when opening season kicks off in 13 days, or really 10 days on that Thursday? What will change? Jacob Blake will still be fighting for his life, more than likely. All these systemic injustices going on in the world, it will still exist. And so I don't think that anything, Marcellus, I don't think that anything, LeVar, will have changed between now and the two-week mark. So then it makes me beg the question, so what would you really have been sitting out for, Seahawks, or any other NFL player, if you were going to sit out now, but you won't sit out in 2 weeks? It reminds me of 2 months ago when everybody was posting their pictures, their little thirst traps on Instagram, but then Tuesday came around. And it was Blackout Tuesday. And you better have posted your black square on Instagram on Tuesday in order to avoid being publicly ridiculed. Well, are you doing it to not be publicly ridiculed? Are you doing it just to fall in line? Or are you doing it because you actually care about the cause? Again, Russell Wilson, phenomenal human being to me, but I just call BS on this stance because in the event, Russ, you were going to sit out had you played this previous week, then your goal should still have been and should still be, wait a second, we should still sit out whenever that time comes.
Debate 101, use your words against them and see
how they go. Here we go.
My initial point was the same. My initial stance was, what's going to effectively change in terms of what the scoreboard looks like as you're measuring what change is from now in 2 weeks when NFL season starts? I would love to hear that answer because my guesswork takes me to places that makes you guys look disingenuous. And I don't want to make that assumption unless it's going to be backed up and be real. Another thing that makes me kind of pause in this situation, even though I believe that Russell Wilson would have sat out, I think the Seahawks would have sat out. I think a lot of players in the NFL would sit out. Let me make sure I make that clear. Because we are in that world, Acho, you talked about, where everyone is going to do what is the flavor of the month, do what is the fad of the month, even though there's going to be real work being supported behind the scenes by some of these players, it's not going to be the majority. We already proved that in the NBA when Doc Rivers had to stand up there and say, everybody's wearing the T-shirts, everyone has the messaging, but 20% of you guys are registered to vote. We already know that there's going to be this bell curve, and 10% of the guys are going to be for the cause and the action. And 10% of the guys are like, man, I don't even trip on all this stuff. I'm just here to ball. And then 80% are there for the swaying. Whatever we're going to do, we're going to do it. In a world of followers looking for likes. And you, I told you, I'm a leader looking for love. And we're just in two different places right now where you can win the optical game. You can win the optical illusion of saying you're really down for something if you just go out there and show these measures that aren't fully supported by actions. Last point on this, y'all, we got to protect the golden goose. We have to protect our golden geese. Mm-hmm. And in the climb for power and the climb for us to have more of a voice and say in this world, those who have this economic base, those who are really affluent, like a Russell Wilson, highest paid player in the NFL, we need to protect them instead of putting more on their plate, saying that they need to solve all the world's ills as well as complete touchdown passes. And I think that pressure that Russell was feeling to say this is the same pressure in the offseason where Drew Brees comes out against Kaepernick and then a few months later is wearing a Jacob Blade tape around his helmet. You know what that pressure makes you do? Not always say exactly what you're really feeling and what you exactly will do.
Russ, why you lying? Why you always lying? Try to tell Russ, why you lying? Russ ain't going. Matt, look here. Hey, what? I'm glad you brought up golden egg, Marcellus Wiley, because talking about putting too much pressure on the golden goose, the golden geese, Acho, you and I both know this. There are how many people that are fighting for a job on a 53 active man roster in football? All right. Now, it's like, what, 60, 70? You start with something start with like 90. That. Some start crazy with 90. Number, start right? With, yep. 90. That's a lot of bodies. Now, you answer me this one, Batman. Riddle me this, guys. If you're going to sit out that game, and mind you, this is the same exact team that let a guy go, cut him, jobless, unemployed for trying to sneak a lady through the front door of a hotel. You're telling me that outside of your golden goose or geese, that somebody's aren't going to be collateral damage to sitting out a game in protest? Ultimately, what goal are you achieving if you lose your job and your voice and your ability to impact change? And who are you as a leader if you are leading these guys down that lane? So I would ask, how gold is your geese or your goose or your egg if you're going to have collateral damage with guys after this takes place? Because in the NBA, it's 12 guys. In the league, it's 53 plus. That's a lot of moving parts and a lot of bodies to sit there and say, this is what we're going to do without a clear goal in mind.
The other thing, y'all both bring up great points. It's so nice when we can agree, especially on a Monday. Sometimes I like starting on my day lowering my blood pressure, just agreeing with these two intelligent gentlemen. The first thing Marcellus said, which I agree with, is this. Let's remember, last year, everybody was standing during the national anthem. This year in the NBA, the majority of players are kneeling during the national anthem. It is mathematically impossible and just realistically impossible that every player just swayed their opinion. So what that means is there are probably some imposters on both ends, people doing things just to do it. Remember, last year, it wasn't cool to take a knee. This year, it sure as heck ain't cool if you stand. So I don't really care about doing something just to do it. Do it because you actually have internal convictions and you want to do what is right. Now, to LeVar's point, there's some truth to that. Remember, in the NBA, your leaders, your beacons of light, the people that draw, that move the needle, LeBron James, you got your Kawhi Leonards, you got your Anthony Davis, you got your Giannis's, all people that are, well, how do we say, black. In the NFL, you got your Tom Brady's, you got your Drew Brees's, you got your Phillip Rivers, you got your Aaron Rodgers's. How do we say this? These guys are white. And so even if you, Russell Wilson, wanted to say, you know what, I'm going to sit this one out, well, what's Drew Brees about to do? Because in the NBA, the reason it was so strong is it was collective. In the NFL, it don't matter if you want to sit. What's the other guy going to do? Alvin Kamara's holding out. He could sit. But if Drew Brees plays, the show will go on. Aaron Jones, Packers running back, he can sit. But if Aaron Rodgers plays, the show will go on. Phillip Rivers, if he plays, the show will go on. Tom Brady, Mike Evans can sit. But if Brady plays, the show will go on. LeBron James, if he sits, music stops. So that's the difference between the NBA and the NFL as a whole, which is why, again, it sounds good in talk, Russ, but I can't wait till September 10th and September 13th or 14th, if I am not mistaken, to see this thing get shaken and see exactly if people are going to, what Marcellus say and what Migos say, if people going to walk it like they talking it.
Or the way it should be, the way talk it like you walk it, like actually be merit-based and then profess what you're doing. Look, I think we are getting to the same place. And then we're reading that conclusion differently. I'm saying because of all this smoke, because it's not always merit-based, that's why I think that he will sit out potentially going forward and would have sat out this weekend if it were a game. Because people are bass-ackwards right now. Like, you guys are letting too many facts get into your conclusion. You're saying, hey, I want to really see pro action in your life. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I am watching the pressure in their life. I'm watching a Drew Brees now say, one thing I'm not going to be is a Brian Urlacher. Even though I may have some things in alignment in terms of thoughts and opinions, what a Brian Urlacher. So because you're now asking these guys not to show their true colors, but to fall in line with the public pressure, you are now going to see guys who may protest, even though they don't know where the protest is going to take them or take the group. Or effectively make change. So I'm not even having a conversation on is it authentic. Man, when Instagram hit like it hit, authenticity is out the door, brother. It's just about, hey, I don't want to be one of the guys who seems like he's on the outside. My favorite group is Outkast, and it's amazing how they embrace being different. But now, if you are different, it seems like there are not a lot of people there to embrace you, and I think Russell Wilson is kind of talking to that crowd and running away from that realness.
You know what it makes me think of? It makes me feel as though where we're at right now, instead of getting caught up in on one or two ways of approaching this, expand your horizons, guys. Like, Russ, if you want to really make change, everybody, the whole defunding situation is taking place in that debate. He talked about how he fears for his kids and what they're going to have to deal with. Why not organize a committee and get all of the guys on your team instead of y'all sitting out? Continue to play and keep your voices strong and your brand strong so people will listen. Keep the game strong so that people will watch and pay attention, and put money towards better training for officers when they're in training. Like, let's help fund that. Let's put more money into our schools. You know, it's going into the fall. You know, there are a lot of schools that have leaky roofs, ceilings. They have no heat. They've had no air conditioning. They don't have books. They don't have electronics. I'm not trying to put anybody on Front Street, but what I'm saying is, let's be creative. I'm someone who lives in the trenches. Every single day, I'm giving money for a scholarship. I'm giving grant money. I'm paying for book you some materials. Me and my family, we take people into our home. And so for me, when I look at real change, it's nice to talk about doing protesting and, oh, we're going to sit out this game. But really, in reality, you want to get people on your side. You want to have the Drew Breeses on your side who just gave an ungodly amount of money for relief efforts. You know, you have Aaron Rodgers and people who stand up for so many different things, moral compass wise. Why not organize and do things that way? Let's start having that conversation, because I feel like with everything that's being said, what Russ said, it's like we're on a hamster wheel right now. And to me, it kind of gets a little bit, like we said, a tad bit disingenuous.
Preach, brother. Coming up, college football will be without one of their best players this season. We'll let you know if Ja'Marr Chase's opt-out decision will create a domino effect. Next!
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Let's move to college football, who has already had a whirlwind offseason. First, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, they canceled their seasons this fall. And now the best wide receiver in the country, he's opted out of playing so he can prepare for the 2021 NFL draft. That's LSU's Ja'Marr Chase, who's projected to be a top five pick in the early mock drafts. His decision could have massive long-term effects on college football. Joined once again by LeVar Arrington. But Marcellus, going to you first. I need to know, will Ja'Marr Chase's decision create a domino effect in college football?
No, it won't create a domino effect just because everybody won't be in the same luxury position that Ja'Marr Chase played himself into. This guy's a top five pick, top 10 at worst. So you're talking about that coming off a perfect season with a quarterback who won the Heisman, who had a perfect season. Where's the upside in even playing this year? And it's interesting, if you look at his stats, obviously tremendous. 20 touchdowns on 84 catches. Boy, was out there balling, 1,780 yards. But his father is interesting, Jimmy Chase, who said his son was locked in. And this was just in August, like early August, this month. His daddy was like, he locked in to play this year, despite the pandemic and everything. And then somebody went to daddy and said, excuse me, sir.
Cha-ching.
What is your son going to play for going forward? If you know a football player, you know that we all have an odometer of how many miles we could take, how many hits we could take, how many catches are really in that body. And I think this makes the most sense for a guy who's done all he can to improve his stock, to get drafted and to get paid for the same thing he loves doing. So this is a smart choice. And most players are not in this position, including I, wasn't in the same position. So most players won't make the same decision.
I think actually this will have huge ramifications for the future of college football. But here's why. COVID has taught everyone a lot across every industry. I just got here 2 months ago, but to my knowledge, the production meeting we used to host in the morning was in person. Well, now we realize, wait a second, you can host it on the phone. There are a lot of companies across the nation that realize, wait a second, we don't need to have a brick and mortar where people can come into. You can just work from home and still be as efficient. I think college football players are going to learn a lot too. Wait a second. If Ja'Marr Chase still goes in the top 10 and he doesn't play his last year of necessary mandated eligibility, wait a second. Mm-hmm. If quarterback Justin Fields at Ohio State doesn't play his last year of mandated eligibility and still goes in the top 10, wait a second. Mm-hmm. If I can sit out my final year and still go in the top 10, then I have very minimal to gain by going back to college and a whole lot to lose. I think this will have a huge collateral effect on how we view college football. What I love about the show, I can keep it real with y'all because y'all keep it real with me. A lot of players, NFL and collegiately, they're opting out, not necessarily because what y'all reading in the headlines. Oh, I want to stay with my family more. I want to spend more times with this and that. No, they're opting out because they can without getting backlash from the media and from fans. If Ja'Marr Chase were to do this during a regular non-COVID season, you want to know what the blogs for LSU would say? He's selfish. How dare he opt out after he wins all these awards? How can he quit on his team, the same team that didn't quit on him? But now, because of COVID, NFL players and college players, including Ja'Marr Chase, they can hide behind the fact of, well, I don't want to play for safety reasons. Maybe that's true, maybe that's not, but it gives them the opportunity to do what they really wanted to do, but they couldn't because of backlash. I think if we see Ja'Marr Chase and other guys have successful transitions doing this, then I definitely think going forward, we're going to see a lot more of it.
It's almost like it's a great argument, but you kind of contradict yourself, because I agree with you, Acho, but I disagree in the sense that moving forward, that they're still able to leverage it the same exact way. I mean, if you think about it, they can hide behind COVID. So to answer the question, does it do it for the stars and affect them this year? I would say, which isn't in the question, but this year, I think it'll get people thinking about it as to whether they want to opt out or play if they're in one of the leagues that are still playing. I mean, you look at Jamar, and the one thing you didn't mention is he led the country in receiving yards last year. He won the Biletnikoff. He was considered the best receiver in the land by the award. So you lose your Heisman Trophy throwing quarterback. I think that this is a smart decision by Jamar, because ultimately, do you risk the situation where you could have a bad season with a new quarterback? That's why I left early. I left my junior year. Courtney Brown, who ended up going number one in the draft. Brandon Short, who was amazing. Mm. We had David Macklin on that team. We had three or four dudes that played in the National Football League for years on that defense that were leaving. I wasn't coming back to show anybody that I wasn't as good as they thought I was in that year where I had dudes getting blocked by four or five dudes, and I only had one guy to deal with, which was a running back most times. Hey, luck of the draw for LeVar. I wasn't playing that senior year. Wasn't going to do it. Can't get me to do it. I don't think that this will become a trend because of COVID. And moving forward, if a star decides to opt out of a season, he will be based on that. He will be judged and weighed on that. And it could have a bad impact on what he feels his end result will be.
Mm-mm. We got to remember that incentives shape behavior. I don't give a damn what the conditions. I don't care if we're going through a pandemic, epidemic, whatever you want to call it. These guys are making these decisions based on the incentives. Not everyone's in this luxurious position as a Jamar Chase, so not everybody's going to even think to make this same decision. A conversation for another day is how I always say there's no unconditional love for the game of football. I try to tell y'all that no one chooses football. Football chooses you. And when you realize you've been chosen, you start to say, how much runway do I have? And in the world where we're looking at a guy who says, I know there's hell to pay every single time I cross those white lines, why not get paid? Why not be in a position where you can something comes back to you instead of you always having to give a chunk of flesh just for the sport? He's in a different position than I was, than Acho was, maybe not you, LeVar, and that's our point. Coming up in our big story, Kevin Durant is not in the bubble, but that doesn't mean he can't tweet. We'll break it down. KD's latest social media blast. Next, speak for yourself. Watch it, speak for yourself. Marcellus Wiley here, Emmanuel Acho.
Yes, sir.
Big dog, top of the hour here. Time for a big story presented by Hyundai. Let's head back to the NBA, where the players were back in full swing over the weekend after missing 3 days of games, while players were on strike in response to the police shooting of Jacob Blake. One player who is not in the bubble, Kevin Durant, who's notoriously not shy about using social media, KD appeared to call people out over the weekend, tweeting, quote, are you doing this work to facilitate growth or to become famous? Acho, what are your thoughts on KD's post?
Man, at first I was going to be extremely upset, Marcellus, that I'm over here breaking down a KD tweet. You know, KD, one of the most incredible basketball players of this generation, but also one of the most emotional tweeters of this generation. But then I thought about it and I said, dang, I got to tell on myself, Marcellus, because I drafted a cryptic tweet of my own. The difference is I kept it in my drafts on Twitter. I didn't actually hit send. You see, on August 19th, I say, people get the notoriety and they forget the cause. It was on my heart. I was like, dang, we got a lot of people out here who were moving for something, moving publicly, and then they got a little bit of praise, and they forgot what the heck they were doing it for. So I feel you, KD. I genuinely do, putting it out there. Are you doing it to facilitate growth or become famous? Maybe he's on to something, because I do think there are several, again, imposters. I think there are several people who, like I said, you posted your bikini picture on Monday, your blackout square for blackout Tuesday on Instagram, then you got back to your swimsuit picture shirtless on Wednesday. Mm. I think there are a lot of people who are just doing it to check a box and say they did. But then I had to kick back, Marcellus, and ask myself, does it matter the motivation as long as it gets done? Unfortunately, I had to ask myself that and kind of came to the conclusion. You know, KD, what do you play basketball for? You play for the love of the game? Yeah. Do you play to be the greatest ever? Do you play for the fame? Do you play for the women? Do you play for the accolades? Mm. Doesn't matter as long as you play at a high level. Mm. So I honestly, when I look at this KD quote, as much as I want to dissect it and twist it and bend it and really get into the nucleus of what does he mean, really, Does it matter what you're doing it for? Are the owners, Marcellus, are they allowing their arenas to become polling places because they really love the cause and they really love their players? Or, man, I need y'all to get back out there hooping, so we'll do whatever the heck you tell me. Yeah. I don't know if we care. I don't know if the motivation matters, Marcellus, as long as the action occurs.
You know, it's interesting just to respond off notes, off the cuff. I think the motivation comes into play for so many people as we know ourselves the most is because the motivation really becomes your foundation. Mm-hmm. Like when all things are considered and you take all the hits, if you weren't motivated properly, you fold because you weren't motivated for it. Think about how fame is a drug. And a lot of people talk about that and not a lot of people have experienced it. So you can be all in one course and then fame hits you. And then it takes you off course. And all KD is asking is, are you guys off course? Because if you're off course, you don't know where you're going. So all of these measures will be hollow in totality if you don't know where you're going and you're not doing it with the proper intention, which is a deep analysis for a single line tweet. With that said, that's what I love, man, how KD's giving advice. And KD also has another tweet that I have to get out here, which is more important? Getting or letting go? That's his other tweet. Now let's couple and combine these two. Advice, KD is trying to give advice. It's something that you already know, but somebody else got to tell you. And KD is like, let me tell you something right here. Because he's talking to you. And I'm not talking about you singular. I'm talking about you plural. Mm-hmm. Y'all, if I will. KD's saying when the noise silences, what's going to be left of everything you're doing? Because what we're doing is forgetting what this conversation really is about. In this entire world, in the study of mankind, in the study of all civilizations, there's one underlying common denominator with all of those situations.
What's that?
The haves and have-nots. Mm-hmm. The quest for power. And then from that quest of power creates story. Because those with power have a story and those without power certainly tell a story. And that story covers the spectrum from prosperity to despair. And that all of a sudden fragments into conversations that leads to the story that comforts you, that motivates you, that excites you. And what those stories are come down in constructs like religion. Mm-hmm. What those stories are come down in constructs like racism, sexism, classism, colorism, all the isms. But if you look and study this world, it's amazing how all of this is really just a quest of power, not just money. Because I think a lot of times people hear money and they turn away, mm-hmm. their hair's raised. I remember hearing the comment, discontent for money is just a trick of the rich to keep the poor without it. And I know I grew up with that discontent for money. No, I'm doing it for something deeper. And then you start to realize as you grow in this world that the deepest thing that you're doing something for is to not only help you and yours, but help all, but have something to hand off. And I think what KD is trying to say in a cryptic way is, are y'all doing something that's going to be not only beneficial to you and yours, to the cause, but something that's going to translate? Because we are now watching the poaching of the golden goose. We're watching guys who have worked their entire life to get to a place where they can actually offer themselves to the conversation of power. And now they're getting that close to that conversation and they're starting to get into another lane that they don't have enough experience and enough levity to bring it into. Bring in Slick Rick the Buker for this one. Slick Rick, what are your thoughts on Kevin Durant's post?
I'm still trying to figure out why and what the purpose of the post was. My first thoughts were, so whose motives is he questioning? And why is he questioning them? Because clearly he's questioning somebody's motives. And I went to read the comments, and a lot of the people reading this didn't take it as a question about the NBA players' motives that are playing in the bubble, but their own motives in terms of why are you doing what you're doing? Are you doing it to facilitate growth, or are you doing it for your personal gain? And the problem that I have with this, and you just mentioned it, Marcellus, and you touched on it, Acho, is that first and foremost, it doesn't matter who he's accusing or whose motives he's questioning. I don't care. Like, KD, you're not playing right now. And if this is supposed to be contributing somehow to the positive, to the growth, your accusation or question about motives, how is it contributing to that? If it is about the players who are playing right now, the fact of the matter is they are doing what they are fulfilling their profession. They are doing what they have been hired to do. You are not. You are on the sidelines. So whatever it is that you have to say about what they're doing, yay or nay, I don't, you're the reason that I'm aware of you, Kevin Durant, the reason that anybody would follow you is because you are a basketball player, not because you're a social activist, not because you're a gossip guy, you know, Ann Landers, I'm dating myself here, you're social, you're a gossip columnist who provides advice to people. It's because you play the game. And when you're not playing the game, then I'm sorry, your voice and the significance of what you're saying does not carry the same weight for me. And that's not to say that his opinion isn't meaningful, but I feel as if we've gotten into this place now, and you mentioned it, Marcellus, there's this pressure now to be more than one thing. And I'm reminded of Russell Westbrook posted something on Instagram about serving my community is that's all that matters. That's the most important thing. Well, I just wonder, have players lost sight of the fact that we are recognizing them, we're aware of them because they're professional athletes, and we care about them because of the way they play the game. And if you want to do that and you want to have some other pursuit and you want to pursue social activism and you want to utilize, I'm all for that. But don't mistake that there are two parts to this, and that I don't know that you can disconnect the two. I became aware of Kevin Durant. I got to know Kevin Durant because he's a basketball player. If you take that away, now I've got to reset. Okay, now it's not a matter of, well, I cared about him as a basketball player, so now I care about everything. It's, okay, now he's this other thing. Is he the guy that I want to follow and listen to and is the best figure for me in terms of going this other direction? You're asking a complete change of direction for me on that. And all those people out there that are uncomfortable with that, I guess I understand that. Look, is there a problem in this country? For sure there's a problem in this country. My question, whether it's with Kevin Durant or it's the players in the bubble, is how do we best deal with it and attack it and try to solve it?
Slick, to your point, because you bring up that word is solve. What I cannot stand and I utterly despise in life, on Twitter and anything in general, don't bring up problems unless you're going to bring up solutions. Don't sit here and say, I can't stand this or I can't stand that, if you don't have a solution for me. Now, what I do understand, though, to a degree, remember, KD's close friend, Kyrie Irving, before the bubble began again, Kyrie was like, look, y'all go back and play, you're just going to be a distraction from the cause. Kyrie, if we're being honest, he called this shot a long time ago, several months ago before this all started. Mm. And now looking back, Kyrie was in fact right. The NBA has been an escape, but has it been a necessary escape when there has been more necessary issues at hand? Maybe KD is sitting here saying, look now, we knew what was going to happen. Y'all knew exactly what was going to happen, which is the NBA does fall second in line to social justice, to lives being jeopardized based on the color of skin. And yet now, all of a sudden, now that it is popular to take the stand, now y'all want to take the stand? Well, Kyrie had already told y'all. So maybe there's some truth to, maybe KD is speaking from a place of, look, We already knew what was going to happen. We knew this was going to happen. We called this shot. Y'all ignored this shot. And now that it is, quote unquote, in, everybody is raising their voice. Everybody's making statements. That's where he could be coming from. But I do agree with you, Slick. My biggest thing, don't sit here and present problems, KD, unless you're also going to present a solution, because there is still work being done, and this is not contributing to the work.
Mm. The beauty of a cryptic tweet, the beauty of what Kevin Durant just did, threw that rock out there and hid them hands, is he can deny whatever we're going to say about it, and he can accept what he wants to. Or he can just sit there and say nothing and say, y'all reading too much into it. There's an art to what he just did here, and I'm not going to let that get by me. With that said, I think what Kevin Durant is really saying, my opinion, is how a lot of times we have to unlearn a lot of our behaviors and our mindsets and focus, or in many cases, refocus on the task at hand. Because the real question is this really for change or is this for clout? And Kevin Durant doesn't want to say the names. He wants your guilt to push you out and make you tell on yourself. I always push back on people who always say, if you don't have any solutions, like Acho just did. I push back because in this world, there are no solutions. There are just trade-offs. There's not legislation that will ever be passed that will eradicate all evils. And it's amazing how we want to slice and dice evils based on what we feel instead of what the reality is. Here's one example. If you grow up and you're dealing with evil from your own kind, that's just called hating. But if you're dealing with evil from another kind, that's called racism. But last time I checked, evil is evil. Now let's get into some numbers, because people could get lost in conjecture and rhetoric. How about that in the last 5 years, over 42,000 of us have been killed by homicide, which is a top 10 leading cause of death for us, but not for the general population. And then KD is sitting there, as I sit there and say, but there have been 50 police killings of unarmed black men. So 42,000 plus versus 50. But as Acho pointed out in previous segments, there was a time where if you stood for the anthem, you were right. Now, if you sit for the anthem, you're right. And it's just swaying in public perception. And what KD is trying to say, I think, is grab a hold of yourself and don't get lost in the sauce of what the public is saying and really do it for deeper intentions than just for likes and followers, for clicks, for the post. As Acho compare post to post to show people's contradictions, I am blessed enough to actually know a lot of these people. And I compare their posts to their reality. And I sit there and scratch my head, amazed at the deception that they're portraying to the public. And we just continue in the masses to follow those same people. But if the blind is leading the blind, the real question is, where are you going?
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.